Okay, thanks, Laura. So I had definitely prepared to be fast, 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 and within the 5 minutes, but I think what I'll do is still give my same brief overview, and then if we have a minute to have some questions or something, that's really what I'm hoping to generate, even by bringing this poster here. So anyway, my name is Claire Hynes, and I am with the National Plant Germplasm System. I'm a curator of the Arid Lands Collection. And we are a small gene bank. We're located at the San Joaquin Valley Agricultural Sciences Center. This is in Parlier, California. So I don't know if you can see in the picture, we've got a little view of the snowy Sierras in the background. We're just outside of Fresno in the Central Valley of California. So this is not an arid land necessarily, but what we can do in this soil and this climate is grow pretty much anything. So our site was initiated and developed as a long dry season grow out site for other NPGS sites. So anywhere that they have specific accessions of a collection that needs special conditions, usually a longer season, or if they have specific disease pressures and don't do well in humid climates, they can send them to us. So we work with Laura a lot on her sunflowers as one example. So that's still about 60% of what we do, but also over the last 15 years or so, they've been developing an arid lands collection of crops here. So sort of a collection of crops that have come to us from other active sites that maybe they realized were not as effectively being able to be managed in the field at these sites. And so again, we can kind of grow anything in Parlier. So this is what we do grow. So with my poster at this meeting, I wanted to focus on these collections and highlight what we have specifically through these three first main ones. This collection wasn't intended to be this initially, but it's sort of become a collection of new emerging crops. Most of them have industrial products that can be made from them. And so we end up with kind of a focus on these crops that fill a niche for rural development of industrial crops, alternative crops that can be produced sustainably with lower inputs, maybe on marginal lands in the arid west. So I'll run through these quickly here. Oh, there we go. So this first one is Waiuli, and this is a Parthenium argentatum is the main species, and it's native to the Chihuahuan Desert in Mexico, and it's a rubber-producing crop. So this has gone through a long history of ebbs and flows of research and development in the U.S. as a strategic crop, as a domestic source of natural rubber. And it's seeing another surge right now. So this is one of our most requested and most researched crops. And the other thing that I'm focusing on with my poster and my communication here at this meeting is that curating these crops specifically that don't have active industries is a challenge that's a little different because we don't have a huge industry of stakeholders to go to and background of agronomic knowledge and seed production techniques specifically. So seed production in Waiuli is a big challenge. But it lets us as a gene bank really function in an important way as a hub for the small amount of research that is actually being done. So it's a small pond, a small team of researchers, but it's we're the only game in town for getting seed and for getting this genetic material. So they sort of have to come through us, and that gives us an opportunity to connect them and to help support a more sustained push for development of some of these crops. So there's Waiuli, and I profile that on my poster. And then our most charismatic and recognizable crop is the prickly pear cactus collection. And this is we absorbed a defunct breeding program at Texas A&M on this that was closing down. So we have some advanced breeding materials included here, as well as a lot of wild materials, and a lot of diversity that hasn't been fully characterized or utilized in that collection. Obviously, that's really a multi-purpose crop for fruit, vegetable, animal feed, industrial purposes, seed oil, lots of things, and also obviously very drought tolerant. And the third one that I profile on my poster is jojoba. It's an oil seed or more technically a liquid wax that's another native to the Mexican and Southwest U.S. deserts. And in a lot of production globally, but not so much in the U.S., and not a lot of development in by U.S. researchers currently. Then we have two small oil seeds that are also drought-adapted. Lascarella, which there was a talk in the previous session here about. We're at four? Okay. Lascarella fendleri is a bladder pod seed oil, produces with low water input oil similar to castor oil. And meadow foam, which is limnanthes, another high-value hydroxy fatty acid oil. And then finally, we have a small collection of hesperalo, agave, and yucca that is very much in its early stages of development and characterization as a collection. So finally, since I didn't get a chance to on my slide, I want to acknowledge our small but mighty team that we have over there in Parlier, and let me know if you guys have any questions or want to discuss. Thanks. Claire.
Claire, of your developing crops, which one do you feel is like the most potential at this point?
So the question was, which of these do I feel like has the most potential as a developing crop now? Well, we're sort of most excited about Waiuli right now. There's a new AFRICAP grant that's building off of a previous Birdie grant so there's a lot of movement and development. But then, like I said, prickly pear and jojoba are already established crops globally, and they're just not that established. There's not a huge infrastructure chain for that in the U.S. So a couple small tweaks, I think getting a pesticide labeled and registered for Opuntia in the U.S. for control of scale insect, and a lot of niche specialty fruit growers could be growing it. Right. Yeah. So the question was about diversity in the Waiuli collection, and as part of this Birdie grant, they did analyze the genetic diversity, and as predicted, it's pretty low, and this is a problem. There was a lot of wild harvesting of Waiuli in Mexico in the early days of developing this as a crop, and we don't have access to the Mexican germplasm anymore. So we can't go to Mexico and obtain it, but there is a small part of the native distribution in Southwest Texas. So we're gonna go just zigzag and scour that more, because especially in the diploid plants that are sexually reproducing and you can cross with, we have very little diversity. The others are polyploid and they are mostly apomictic and very difficult to make crosses with. So it's an exciting plant to breed.